Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
And I'm hosting for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat and Chris.
How you doing today?
How you doing, Chris?
Doing good, brother. How you doing?
Fantastic. Oh, my goodness. It is November the 12th.
Yes, it is.
Time is flying by.
Yeah. That's what happens when the clock turns. Yeah.
Well, you know what? You know what? This is very, very exciting. I want to give a couple of shout-outs to our new VFN radio listeners. Every single day, I'm just so pumped. But I do want to welcome all the new VFN radio listeners, Melvin and Sienna and John and Bella and Lauren and Tamisha and Felita and Todd and Tyler and Sabara. I tell you, it is so wonderful to know that so many people are just joining with us and part of this conversation. And today we're going to have an exciting conversation as we just delve into some really exciting things. But I do want to bring something up, Chris. I mean, I am noticing that in the studio, our partner here, our main dude, our guy here with the stylish gel and the, you know, the physique of, you know, words fail me.
Right.
But he is wearing the crusty dusty. He's pulled out the faithful.
Come on.
Champion Saints. Well, I mean, can you tell us today dusty. why you have the faithful on?
Well, let me tell you.
Please.
Enlighten us.
The formerly unbeaten Atlanta Falcons came to their demise yesterday.
That's right.
Really?
By the one and only New Orleans Saints.
Oh my goodness. So
thank
there
you
is
much.
Jubilation in the house. Of
there is for one more week.
Oh my goodness.
One more week.
Well, listen, I mean, I tell you, the Lord is good to you. You can say that the Lord is
faithful.
Good to you, huh?
Absolutely.
Well, I do want to share that out of Psalms. I tell you, I love Psalms. The word says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord, and let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I'm telling you, it's nothing like praising the Lord. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's like, you don't understand. I've got to shout and praise him. And if I boast in anything, if I boast in, I got to tell you, I got to boast in him, in the one who is able to take care of me. It says, glorify the Lord with me. And I tell you, one thing about David, King David had an amazing life. Yeah. I mean, if you want to be encouraged in the Word of God, we just got to look at King David. But King David, what I thought was so amazing, says, you know, he wanted to magnify the Lord. Let us magnify the Lord. And one thing about David is that he made God bigger than all the problems that he faced.
That's right.
I mean, when you have people throwing spears at you, you know what I'm saying? When you have your brothers hating on you, you know, when you're all by yourself just taking care of some sheep, thinking no one's paying attention, no one's listening, just doing your job, minding your own, who is going to recognize me in this little old office here in the basement filing paperwork? I mean, all he was doing was his job.
Yeah.
You heard that before.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think it was my job.
That's right.
And yet God saw him. God recognized him. When he was going through all those trials and all those tribulations and all those wars and defeats. You know, one thing that David did, David inquired of the Lord.
Yes, he did. Quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the key. And he magnified God. He made God bigger than his problems.
That's right.
Not that a lot of times, you know, if you get caught up and start looking at problems and situations and things that are happening and all this type of stuff, before you know it, you know, your problem is way bigger than God's ability. And the question is like, how big is God? How big is God to you? I mean, we know that God is huge.
That's right.
That He's faithful and able to handle everything. The earth is the Lord's. I mean, heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. Mm. I mean, God is God.
That's right.
And yet, if when we focus on what's wrong and allow ourselves to have that stinking thinking, and, you know, our perception of God just begins to diminish. And David always let the main thing be the main thing, if you will. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He set his eyes on the one. He set his eyes on Jesus, right?
That's right.
But the word tells us that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith, that for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross.
That's right.
Listen, if you got to endure something today, listen, Jesus is a perfect example. He said, for the joy set before him, he was able to endure the cross, scorning its shame, because he had you on his mind. He had you on his mind. He had you on his mind. And you can endure anything. You can go through anything with God.
That's right.
Now, without God, people turn to a whole lot of other things. I mean, I get it. But there's nothing like a faithful friend. You know, the Word of God says that God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble.
That's right.
You know, and that you can walk through the fires and not be burned. You know, God is, he will walk with you.
Right.
And you're not alone. And I tell you, these days, we talk about great encouragement and comfort. I mean, to know that God is with you. That the eyes of the Lord are upon you.
Right.
You're not alone out there today. God is with you. So I'm just encouraged. I want you to be encouraged today, but very, very exciting. You know, Pat and Chris, I was thinking
you
know, this morning. Yeah, that's a dangerous thing.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I didn't hurt myself.
I
didn't hurt myself this time. You know, it could be dangerous. But I was thinking, as I'm putting on sweaters and layering up here in the cold temperature, I was thinking of fond moments when I was at the beach and I was thinking about what you guys said about I heard on VFN Radio last week. By the way, if you have not heard the Marathon Weekend, if you have not heard the VFN Marathon Weekend, you need to tune. It is so encouraging. Every single weekend. I'm going to put a little plug here for the Marathon Weekend since we just passed the weekend here.
All right.
You can hear back-to-back-to-back-to-back VFN radio programs.
Right.
I mean, and so encouraging, and it just goes all the way through. And, you know, I love to turn it on. You never know what's going to come on when you turn it on, what's playing. But I heard something.
Yeah.
Remember when you guys said that you guys went diving? Chris, you remember this excursion that they had and how fun and wonderful that was?
Right.
Well, you know, obviously you heard my experience, you know, my thoughts on that. I was thinking because I came across an article. I came across something. And see, this is why, Chris, I don't go underwater like that. This is why I don't do that. I'm about to tell you why don't, you know, why mess with something that, you know, the fish didn't bother you. You know, Jaws does not bother you. Why do you want to go into their territory? But I want to share something with you. That a diver in Brazil, Franco Banfi, he decides to go, get this, Chris, diving in Brazil. And guess what poor Franco found? Not a fish, not, you know, the little coral that, you know, they like to trick you in saying this is what you're going to see down there. He found an anaconda. Okay.
What?
But the anaconda wasn't 5 feet. Wasn't 10 feet. It was 26 feet long.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. Where did he find it?
This is in Brazil. It's he's diving, and as I understand it, he looks up and it's like off the shore, and it's this huge, monstrous.
What was he diving in?
It doesn't say. It doesn't say. But listen, we know this. He's in the water. That's that's enough.
Was he in a river?
It doesn't say. I don't know. I don't know. All right.
I just never seen an anaconda near the beach.
Wow.
Have you ever seen an
anaconda? Of the ocean, that is.
Well, listen, ocean has creatures, if you know what I mean.
Yes, they do.
You know, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this, you got to be careful. You just can't be going around poking and, you know, all sorts of places and stuff. I'm thinking, you see, that's why. I saw the anaconda. I'm like, okay, confirmation.
So what happened? Anything?
Oh, nothing. I mean, they didn't go into detail. Said this is what he saw, and he snapped a picture of it.
Wow, what a great catch. Wow, that's awesome.
See, Chris?
That's why we go diving.
That's right. How many times could you say you saw a 26-foot anaconda when you were diving?
That's right.
What a memento.
Yeah.
And survived.
And lived to tell about it.
See, is this mindset, Chris? Is this mindset that gets people hurt? You know what I'm saying? This is beautiful. I want to take pictures of this.
Hey, man.
It's a snake. It's 26 feet long.
Right.
It's huge. It'll crush you and wrap you around and, oh my goodness.
Swallow you whole.
Hey, swallow you whole. Maybe we'll have a picture of that to show everybody. But I thought, man, that's almost bigger than maybe a city bus, dude. That's 26 feet.
A lot longer, yeah. Mm.
Wow. It's crazy. Crazy. It reminds me, I went to down in the shore. This led me to my previous thought that I was about to share. But
oh, that's all right. That's right. Come back.
Yeah, come back. I was in the shore some years back on the Gulf Coast. I love those beaches out there. But and I'm with you remember Jerry, don't you?
Who?
My brother-in-law Jerry.
Oh, Jerry. Yeah.
We're in this kayak. Okay, mm-hmm. We're just tearing it up. We're out there in the own waves, and we're just having a ball. You mm-hmm. know, just having fun. Now, if you hear him tell the story, he gets colorful. I mean, I don't know what
colorful
kayak he was on. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to tell you the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in the front. He was in the back. And it's kayak. When you're in the water, I mean, if you've never been in a kayak before, it seems very light. I mean, it seems like the water just pushes all over the place. But mm-hmm. a kayak, although it's made of plastic, it's not really that light. I mean, when the waves get violent and you're down by shore, man, that kayak can slap you silly, man. It'll knock you right under your feet and crush your shins. I mean, you gotta be careful. I mean, you gotta hold that thing right. You will be destroyed.
Right.
So the dangerous part is getting it into the water, you know, because mm-hmm. the waves are coming.
Oh, without getting beat up, yeah.
Exactly. And so we're carrying this thing going out in the water. I'm in the front. Once you get past the where the waves are, I guess, cresting or coming out, there's a calmness. Mm-hmm. So we're out. Okay, we're resting. And all of a sudden, I see this school of fish. And we're in the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, where there's sharks, you know what I'm saying? But these schools of fish, all right? These schools of fish, they looked like they were like at least 3 feet long. I mean, they were huge or black. And they were just, I mean, moving fierce mm-hmm. in the whole group. And I'm thinking, oh, Mike, I said, Jerry, look. Look to the left. Look to the left. I was like, don't move. Jerry starts looking. He says I got excited. I say he got excited.
Let me guess.
At the same time, we're looking at this, like, it just seemed like a mass to the left of us.
Were they running?
Were they running from?
Well, we don't know. that's why we were like, oh my God.
So y'all just had to find out, right?
Well, at the same time, there was this wave that was emerging, this huge wave. And I said, Stay steady. And of course, did not stay steady and fell right, I mean, just right on top of what looked like this school of fish.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, talk about jumping in the water, trying to get onto that thing again. It was hilarious.
Oh, my goodness.
Hilarious. But, I mean, these fish were huge, and we didn't know what was behind those fish.
Exactly. You know what I mean? What was chasing them?
Exactly. So we just quickly made a beeline and tried to get way out of there, but humorous moments not. But that's the reason why, Chris, I just want to just encourage everyone who's listening today. Be careful when you get into these waters.
Right.
Don't be so quick to start sticking your head in places. Chris. Mm-hmm. Pat.
Yeah.
I talked to Greg too about that. I'll tell you what. Jeez. Well, you know that yesterday was the official day that we recognize Veterans Day.
That's right. Yesterday.
But today, as a nation, we actually recognize Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually a federal holiday, And, you know, it's not to be confused with Memorial Day, because Veterans Day is a day that we celebrate the service of all U.S. military veterans. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Right.
Memorial Day is the day we remember the men and women who died while serving. So there's a little bit, there's a difference there.
Right, right. You're right. You're right. That's good.
It's important. You know, you have all these holidays, and a lot of times people just think, oh, it's a day off. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But it's a big deal. If the federal government's going to shut down, you know, we should know a little bit why we're shutting down and we're honoring. It's important to honor our veterans. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of, I didn't have the opportunity to serve in the military, but I do have family members, I have brothers, friends in the Lord that have served. I mean, Jeffrey and Steve and Greg served.
Yeah.
You know, and I have an uncle that served. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for our veterans.
Yeah.
You know, these guys that are willing to fight the wars that allow us to have the freedom
absolutely
that we have today.
All right, that we take for granted even now.
Isn't that amazing?
Forgot what it took.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So important that we talk about this. You know, every time I visit a war memorial and I see a veteran, an older gentleman, maybe sometimes with decoration, I like to take I did this once down when I was in Florida. This older gentleman looking at that war memorial down there by the downtown.
Right.
And I was able to take one of my sons with me and just introduce him to him. And I think we just got to give perspective. I think a lot of times we don't get a chance to talk to the people that have served in the military, that have fought in wars. And my grandfather fought in the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
And times are different. We need to. It's a great military that often keeps a lot of other countries or evil people at bay. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I don't think we want to mess with them, you know. And I'm grateful for the men and the women that have made great, great, great sacrifices.
That's right.
To defend our shores. So we want to give a shout out to all of our veterans today.
That's right.
Say God bless you. We thank you for your service. We thank you for your commitment. And we think that's absolutely wonderful. I think that's great.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Absolutely.
When you think about it, we're talking about Veterans Day, we're talking about the armed services, and that's the Marines. I thought, you know, by the way, I thought briefly that I would go into the military at one time of my life. You know,
all right.
I thought that. And I had some ideas, and then I thought, my uncle actually. He was in the military, and he was just always constantly talking to me about, you got to go to the military, you got to go to the military, you got to go to the military. And the military, he did wonderful in the military. He loved the Air Force, and I really thought I was going to do it. But then I just decided, you know, I wasn't going to.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a phenomenal career, and I really did well with it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, talking about military and those armed services, just recently, I don't know if you guys knew this, and talking about God's news behind the news and all of our VFN radio listeners, that there was some Israel had some airstrikes in Gaza.
Uh-oh.
And I mean, it's just this is serious. It says they say that, you know, the Israeli defense forces basically say they will not tolerate any attempt to harm Israeli civilians and will operate against anyone who uses terror against the state of Israel. And basically that Hamas terror organization is solely responsible for any terrorist activity emanating from the Gaza Strip. And so they had that going down in kind of that area. Mm-hmm. And then in Syria, Israel basically responded to, I believe it was a shell that came across into Israel from the conflict in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, This is pretty serious. The shell failed to cause injuries or damage, but it did hit Israeli territory, and Israel's basically saying, look, you know, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go there. We're not going to have that. Says the shell hit as Israel suffered a barrage of missiles from Gaza, putting the Israeli Defense Forces in a position of monitoring enemy fire along both the northern and the southern borders. And so, you know, this is this is a time where Israel is really, you know, looking at their options. I mean, mm-hmm. they're really saying that, hey, we're not going to tolerate this. Meanwhile, the UN is telling both of them, Syria and Israel, hey, let's cool out here. You know, mm-hmm. Right. Israel fired a warning shot at the Syrian military for the first time since the 1973 Yom Kippur War.
Oh wow!
So this is not something that's taken lightly, or we're just going to throw, you know, some shots over the border and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to pray. You know, you realize that, you know, it's important to have the military. It's important to honor veterans. You know, in Israel, every single person serves.
That's right.
Every single person serves. That's what you do.
Yeah, men and women. I think they serve for what, like 2 years or a year?
I'm not sure.
Huh?
I think it was four.
Oh, is it really?
I thought it was four.
I'm not sure, but we can find out.
I was curious.
But what's interesting about that is that they all do serve.
Right.
And they that's the first thing, which gives really the nation perspective. When everyone in your country is trained with an assault rifle, when everyone in your country understands the reality of war, mm-hmm. and I would dare say that very few people in Israel take that for granted.
Right.
And we got to definitely pray for Israel. You have Iran sitting out there that's still a huge threat. Mm-hmm. You have what's going down with Gaza and now with Syria, which has there been an a year long conflict, and there's, you know, serious weapons in Syria. And what Israel's concerned is that the terrorists are going to get a hold of them, mm-hmm. and launch an attack there on Israel. And so keep Israel in your prayer. Keep that in your concerns. We're going to continue to lift up Israel. But one thing we can't do is be anxious. And we're going to talk about anxiousness in a minute, but we can't be worried. Listen, God is the ultimate defender of Israel, and he will raise up, you know, a barrier. But it's for us to pray.
Right.
It's for us to be confident in the Lord.
Absolutely.
And not to be ignorant and be aware and support Israel by listen, there's never been a time, I think, that Israel needs more support than now.
Right,
I
mean,
there's
right,
been
exactly.
stages in that nation's history. But let me tell you, now is a critical moment that you stand boldly with Israel. Don't be a closet supporter. Stand boldly because they need your support.
Absolutely. Just as a side note, it is most citizens of Israel, they are required to serve at least 2 to 3 years.
2 to 3 years.
2 to 3 years, correct.
All right, fantastic. That's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I do. We are going to share about some wisdom moments in this hour, and we're going to share some great things that we shared last week. I know we had a fantastic program, but before we do that, we'll be right back.
I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you're running after things, a man, and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, he is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life, but you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. There is nothing, I meant nothing, Pat, mm-hmm. worse than man's religion.
Yeah.
You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right. in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this, but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. Mm-hmm. You can write your own devotional. Listen, just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin, because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit. You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time, at a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history started with Next Step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today. What we're finding out, that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now, and they're connected in the social media atmosphere. There's 1/6 of the world's population that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app. But they like us, and so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. Well, I'll tell you, we're just talking in the first hour, guys, and before the break, we were talking about Veterans Day and how we're honoring our troops and our soldiers, men and women alike, and the importance of what Israel realizes, that troops are important. The military is important.
That's right.
And you do have the right to defend yourself from those that are trying to annihilate you. Mm-hmm. But in other news, and God's news behind the news, there's a recent article. You know that the financial economy right now, the world, as we've been talking about, is just really pretty shaky. And even in our own country, they're talking about trying to avoid this fiscal cliff and getting the parties together and working with the president on trying to stop this. But you know, this is man's attempt.
Right.
But in Europe, we do know that Europe, that Greece is basically, you know, first on this domino of collapse. Mm-hmm. And right behind it, many are saying that Spain is right there. Mm-hmm. And in a recent article, this is really, really troubling. But they're saying that waves of evictions is leading a homelessness problem in Spain.
Oh, wow.
This is huge, mm-hmm. because you're seeing what begins to happen. And, you know, unfortunately, when you start seeing crisis, where people are like, take unemployment, for instance, mm-hmm. and you take homelessness, you know, oftentimes we don't seem to it doesn't impact us as much, as because it's not happening in necessarily in our life or our family or ones that we know. Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of keep going along and you hear about it. But this is how it begins. This is how things like this start. And you realize, oh, wait a minute. I didn't realize, you know, a person may say, I didn't realize that the economy was that, but I have a job and I'm paying bills and things are okay. Mm-hmm. Is there really, you know, 9% unemployment? Are there really 23 million people out of work? You know, and unless it's happening to you, you kind of really doesn't land. Mm-hmm. Well, listen to this. There's this 71-year-old couple they interviewed, the New York Times, and they said that they found themselves being evicted of where they lived because they fell behind in their mortgage. Mm-hmm. Well, now they're living in a building in Spain. They slept in the entrance of the hall of their building. Listen to this.
Oh, wow.
And their daughters, both unemployed and were living with them, they slept in their neighbor's van. This is what's going on in Spain now.
Wow.
And the woman, Miss Lopez, the interview, she says, you know, you can't imagine what it's like to be there in that hall. It's a story you can't really tell because it's not the same as living it. Mm. And what's happened is that they're a part of 36 other families now who have taken over a luxury apartment. Listen to this. Them as well, as far as about 36 other families, they've taken over a luxury apartment block that has been vacated for 3 years where there's no electricity. Okay? Oh, wow. So they're all holding up there. And this is huge. It says that the number of Spanish families facing eviction continues to amount a dizzying pace. And although the country is trying to do some kind of emergency measures, they can't happen fast enough. I mean, Spain virtually has no emergency shelter system for families. I mean, you look at that, even what's happening in the midst of the hurricane. I mean, New York and New Jersey, they really were not prepared in terms of shelters. I mean, even without the storm alone, there's not that many shelters, you would think, in New York City with a population the way it is.
They got to
get people. And, you know, I was in the Bronx not too long ago talking about shelters. And I was traveling with someone, and they pointed to a building to me. She says, you see that building? I said, yeah. They said, that building, that entire building is a shelter. I mean, it was a huge apartment building, and it is a shelter. And I'm, you know, you're looking at all this, and you're thinking, wow, this is, homelessness has so changed in the face of our country. You know, you would think that someone may think that a homeless person is maybe an elderly person, or typically we think of homeless person as a man or someone that has some sort of, you know, illness, and so they want to live in the street, or they maybe have some sort of addiction. But let me tell you something. More and more, you're seeing families. You're seeing women. You're seeing children that are homeless. And so this is what's happening in Spain. And it's troubling. I mean, they said a 53-year-old woman hung herself just hours before being evicted. And it's troubling when you think that your very home, the place that you're safe. And oftentimes, it's being reported that many people are just maybe one paycheck away from facing significant financial loss.
Right.
And they're saying that they have a lot of people that are looking for apartments. And one of the realtors said, this is him saying, says, the joke is that half the people touring for apartments that are on the market are actually just picking out which apartment they want to squat in. What apartment they want, they're not really looking for an apartment to actual rent. They're looking to see what place they're going to try to take on over, move back in. And so one of the things we want to share in the midst of all of this is you want to lift people up and begin to start empathizing. Just because things are not happening necessarily to us doesn't mean that one day it will not. And if we show compassion and we show empathy for others during their time of need, you know, that's good. We're showing the love of God, the mercy of God. And we need to learn from this experience. It's amazing. If it's not happening to you, you don't think about it.
All right.
But then all of a sudden, there's a wave that occurs. Says, "Well, where did this all happen? What was happening all over the place? But no one paid attention to it.
That's right.
No one gave concern. And we can't live a self-focused life that's just all about us. That we're not taking the time to really look out for our neighbors. I mean, I'm telling you, for what's coming on the face of this earth and what's happening going to come to America, you're going to need to stay in community. You're going to need to be in right relationship with preferably people that love God, that are abiding, that are hearing God's voice, because you're going to need to band with each other. You're going to need to band with each other. I mean, these storms and these disasters that hit show us that you need community. You need community. And oftentimes we've had that experience when we've been through hurricanes, that you come out and meet your neighbors. And
it's amazing the people that you meet during those times that you've been living next to for years and years and years.
Absolutely. Don't wait for catastrophe to meet your neighbors. Don't wait for a catastrophe to find out, what they need and who lives in that home, and find out if there's any elderly. mm-hmm. in your area. I mean, we recently, you know, did some hurricane relief and found there was an 82-year-old woman living all by herself.
That's right.
You saw that, huh?
Yeah, I saw that.
All by herself, you know, not being looked after. And she's old. She doesn't know how to get around. She had no electricity, no power. She really mm-hmm. didn't want to leave her home. Mm-hmm. And we have to get back to caring. Right. And reaching out, and as believers, being in the harvest field and taking ownership of our neighborhood. That's right. You know, realizing that Acts, you know, tells us that God determined the exact time and place where we should live, that we could reach out to Him and hear Him, even though He's not far. You're not mm-hmm. living in that neighborhood and that house and that street on that block for any old particular person. If you're a believer, God's allowed you a beacon of light to be there for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. What are we doing with that?
All right, exactly.
What are we doing with that? And I want to encourage you that if you're facing homelessness, if you're facing trials of any kind, I want to caution you and just encourage you not to be anxious.
Right.
Not to be anxious. Philippians tells us, Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. Anything. We talked about military and Israel. Mm-hmm. Just say, listen. We don't need to be anxious. God's word tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, mm-hmm. present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Man, I don't know about you. That is a powerful, powerful verse of scripture.
That's right.
It has brought me great solace many, many, many times. But you think about it, God commands us in His words, you know, not to be anxious. These women hung themselves, bless their heart, because they felt that they had no other choice. Listen, it's not the end of the world. This too shall pass. Mm-hmm. But we got to turn to God.
That's right.
We got to turn to God. Says, "Do not." You know what anxious means? Anxious means uneasy, apprehensive, uncertain about a matter, worried, tense. Mm-hmm. You're concerned about, like, you know, a misfortune is going to happen to you. So it's just like, oh, I'm just anxious. You're uneasy, mm-hmm. restless, agitated, jittery. Mm-hmm. The actual original word in like Latin means to choke or squeeze. And if you've been around an anxious person, it's just feel like they're choking. They're just like everything's squeezing in on them. Mm-hmm. If you've ever experienced anxiousness yourself.
All right.
And God's word clearly tells us, don't do it. Don't be uneasy. Mm-mm. Don't be jittery. Don't allow what you're facing to choke you out, choke your family out. Don't even go there.
Right.
About anything. Why would God tell us that about anything? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when we're anxious, it's because we're trying to find a solution within ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, it could be financial. It could be something going on with the family, with the marriage. Mm-hmm. It could be something in your own life, personal struggles and challenges at the workplace. Mm-hmm. And you're anxious. And you talk to a lot of people today with so much uncertainty with what's going on. You just sense a great anxiousness in terms even of their employment. They don't know what's going to happen with the economy. We want to encourage you today. We want to encourage you through God's word that God encourages us not to go there, not to be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition, in every situation, in every circumstances, in every place that you find yourself in, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes you go along through the day and, you know, anxiousness, you become so worried that you don't even realize that you're worried about something.
All
right. Until someone says, dear, Pat, are you okay? Chris, is everything okay, dear? I'm fine. I'm fine. What? Is there something wrong?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You're awfully jittery today. You know, you could be so self-focused. You can have this whole thing going on in your head and in your brain. Mm-hmm. You're thinking so hard that we all see it. It's like we see their brain all functioning.
Right. It's all over your face.
We see those gears moving, literally.
Mm-hmm.
and your body becomes to take on what's actually happening within your mind. And so, you know, we can respond one or two ways. We can become anxious, and anxiousness is what? Wasting our time, being all focused on fear and dread of a misfortune. Something's going to happen, as if that could actually change the situation.
Right.
And you got to be careful that you don't have a default setting to be anxious. Some people think that that's normal, that it's okay. I'm just anxious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about my job. Where about my kids? Right. You know, where about my relationship? Where about my relationship? Where about the economy? It's like, that's not a, you can't have a default setting to go straight into anxiousness, into worry. But in everything, we can actually go to the one who could actually fix the situation.
Mm-hmm.
In prayer and petition with thanksgiving, you have a request, you have a need, you have a situation, you have a concern, you're going through a trial. You can present your request to God, to the one who actually holds your life in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one who can determine anything, the person who can grant you the relief or the favor. And if he allows it, it's because of his Father filter.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been there? Have you been there before? Have you ever been anxious about something? You realize, why am I so anxious?
All right. Exactly. What's the root of all that is fear. You think about it.
Absolutely.
Every bit of it.
That's the foundation of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the anxiousness is all about something's about to happen that I don't want to happen.
All right. False evidence appearing real.
That's good. That's the acronym, yeah. False evidence.
Right.
And you're fretful. Fretful. Sometimes you can be anxious about a conversation because you're thinking, oh, if I have this conversation, this is not going to go well. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why are you projecting on that? Instead, you know, we could just take that concern, because it could be a legitimate concern. It may not go well. But by focusing on dread and those possibilities that may or may not occur, why not take that concern? You know, Jesus is our burden bearer.
Mm-hmm.
Just take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light and easy.
That's right.
How many are suffering unnecessarily stress? I mean, and burden, and then you're spreading it all through your family, all through your workplace, all through your, and it's like, that's so unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's God says, hey, bring your burdens to me. I care for you. So prayer and petition, make your requests with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, one of the ways that to really lift up your spirits, you know, so one of the ways to really get encouraged is to start thanking God and to remember all the good things that God has done in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, there's nothing that will build your faith. I write this stuff down. I know you and I have had this conversation, you know, and every time God answers a prayer request, you know, I write it down.
Absolutely.
Because it builds my faith.
Right.
You want to look back and say, oh yeah, God answered that. And I remember when God answered that. Start talking to the Lord in your prayer. Start remembering and thanking him for all the good things that he has done. Mm-hmm. For the times that he's healed you. For the times that he provided you when there was no way.
That's right.
The way that he answered and restored you when it was all said and done and it was all over. That one time God intervened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you said, God, if you get me out of this one, and he did, and how he touched your family, and how he gave you that job that you didn't have, and you were all by yourself, and you said, Lord, if you give me a family, if you give me, you know, if we just had a child, and God gave you six children, and it's like all these different things that God so, you gotta remember.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta sit back and rejoice and ponder. Listen, you can focus on your problem, or you can focus on God. But I tell you, both of them, you know, the one you choose is going to determine what's going to happen with you.
That's right. And
you can focus on fear, you can focus on faith. And so, it's you know, so we can't be anxious. And the thing about all of this is that he says, in everything, present your request to God. And get this, and the peace of God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, when you actually talk to the one who can do something about your situation, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
When you talk to the one who holds the heart of the king in his hand, you know, when you talk to the one, or the rider of the horse whose name is faithful and true, who is just and fair and righteous, when you talk to Jesus, when you talk to the creator and the manager of the universe, who put the stars in place and told the waters to stay at a certain... When you talk to God, come on now. He says, look, you're going to have peace and the peace of God. You know, I was talking to someone the other night, and I remember hearing that one of the names that, that Jesus had was the Prince of Peace. And, I, you know, before I knew God, I thought, oh, that's cute. You know, hope, joy, peace. Oh, that's a nice little saying that they give Jesus, you know, the Prince of Peace, you know.
Right.
Until, you know, I needed some peace. And I realized that he was the source of peace.
That's right.
Man, when there is anxiousness, you have no peace in your life. There's no peace, constantly worry, things constantly on your mind. Anxiousness and worry and fear will sap and drain the life out of you. It'll cause you to be bitter. It'll cause you to be edgy. It'll cause you to snap. Right?
That's right.
When you have peace, it's all good.
That's right.
And he says, and the peace of God which transcends. That word means to rise above, to exceed. When the peace of God rises above your ability to understand, now you're talking. I mean, you've been through something where it's like, dude, we have just experienced the big one in our home. You know, I was like, I just got hit with a mega bomb here.
That's right.
And for all intents and purposes, I should be totally distraught and just like knocked out, my wind knocked out of me. But for some reason... There's an overwhelming peace upon me, and it's beyond my ability to understand. I mean, because if you look at the facts say that I am in trouble. If you look at the facts and what other people tell me, this is the big one.
That's right.
You know, that I've been diagnosed. They told me that this was it. But you got to understand, I spoke to God. You got to understand that I took this request. I couldn't worry about the diagnosis. By worrying and focusing and fretting, and that is not going to make me get better. But I took my request. I did like David did, and I magnified God, and I didn't magnify the problem. I said, God, you're bigger than all this, and I started thanking him for what he did for me in all my life. And I looked back at the years and the chapters of my life and saw God's hand upon me and what he's done for my family. And faith started to rise up. And not only faith, but the peace of God started to descend on my mind. And for some reason, I've got peace.
It's good.
Isn't that good? I mean, we need peace. You got to operate in a place of peace from peace.
Nothing like it.
You ever been in an environment where maybe you're leading something and somebody's just so anxious and they come, that anxiousness, that fear is contagious.
Very contagious. Oh, yeah.
And you bring someone in like that and it starts jumping all on each person. And so the peace of God rises above our ability to understand. And get this. This is what the peace of God does. This is what the peace of God does. It guards your heart and your mind. Let me tell you something. You can have some thoughts that could be pounding so loud in your mind. That you can't even go to sleep.
Right.
You're talking about a restless night. You're talking about anxiousness and concern and gripping. Let me tell you something. The peace of God, what it does, it just it begins to guard your mind. It begins to protect your mind. It begins to build a fortress, a wall, if you will, of just peace, of faith, of encouragement. Listen, you can go through this. You can go through this. We got to encourage, you know, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I want to encourage you today.
That's right.
We're here to encourage you. We're here to enlighten you, to inspire you, to activate you.
That's right.
You know, but don't forget that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And what will stop you and what will put a hold on you will be just that. Fear, worry and anxiousness. And as listen, you may hear troubling things in the news. You may hear things that happen, you know, to other people. But for us, our comfort, you should know God, you're seeking God here today, mm-hmm. is for you to spend that time abiding. I mean, Pat, Chris, can you remember a time? Can you remember a time where you needed to hear God? And you set out to abide in just that one word, that one scripture.
Oh yeah. Yeah, many times. Many times.
Isn't that powerful?
Oh, it is. It just brings you such peace, knowing that God's aware of everything. You know, he's has all your burdens in his hand. He's just waiting for you to release them out of your hand and put them in his.
That's
and
right.
As soon as we do that, and then he gives us that faith to believe that he's in control. He's going to take care of that situation.
Right.
And then it's just gone. I just remember so many times when that happened.
Isn't that amazing?
It's wonderful. I mean, it's like, all right, I'm done. I get up, walk away. I mean, I don't, it's just done, you know, right. Knowing that God's going to handle it.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's just like, you know, like, what is it about God that you don't like? I'm thinking, dude, give your heart to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I can't carry that. Been there, died there, slap, worn out, tore up from the floor up. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Like, what part of worry, anxious, I mean, if you don't know Jesus, how can you ever truly, think about this, if you haven't accepted the Lord in your heart, how can anyone truly have peace outside of God?
That's right.
How could you? Constantly worrying, constantly, and that's why man is just so caught up in his ability and what he can do, and they're putting so much stock in education and money and all of this, because you become your own fortress. Mm-hmm. You become your own insurance policy, if you will. You begin to self-insure against calamities, and you start taking pride and stock in yourself. And let me tell you something. Ain't none of us all that good.
Mm-mm.
And the best of us can all have a bad day.
That's right.
And so it's not about putting your faith and your trust in yourself. It's about turning to God.
That's right.
Turning to one who's faithful, who loves you, who has a plan for your life, and truly cares about helping you and assisting you and bringing you out through this. And I'm telling you, God can put you through this.
Yes, he can.
You just got to be willing to stay in the pool, right?
That's right. And be ready to let go of it.
That's right. Let go and let God, right?
Amen.
Because a lot of times God wants to deliver us from something, but we refuse to let it go. Listen, I want to encourage you today. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Take your request, take your concern, and give it straight to God.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.